Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
The thing is when we're looking for fleshly desires and things that please our flesh and things that we like in this world, we're not following the Spirit of God. Nobody could question here that Jesus knew the voice of God, could we? Now, I know that we say, well, he is God. And I say, yea and amen. But it said that he knew the voice of the Father. Amen. And it was the Father speaking in him. We understand that. We say the same thing now. And we got to think about him being the firstborn of many brethren. We got to look at him and what he did and what the voice commanded him to do. And if you think that just the voice of God is only going to speak pleasing things to you and that you like and it makes you feel good and that you desire and that you've been looking for and that you know that you're pleasing to God because you got prosperity, because you got a good job or because of this and that, you've missed the voice of God altogether. Amen. And sometimes you'll find yourself going through hardships. And you'll find yourself going through complications, for you can learn to hear and discern the voice of the living God. Hebrews, the second chapter, let's go to the first verse here. It says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What have we heard? Can you think of what you've heard? For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which after the first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angel hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 12 again says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, and will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same through the death, that he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things he behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation of their sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Wonderful reading there in the second chapter of Hebrews. We find there at the latter part, he's speaking about what he did. He said he took on this as the Abraham seed. Now, I know we go into the scriptures and we talk about these two seeds. And we know of the seed of man, there's seed of the woman. We think about bringing forth a child without the seed of a man. But he was talking about the image that he came into. He talked about even being made a little lower than the angels. He talked about the suffering that he came into for you and I. You know, for the people that have the fear of death, that he came and conquered and took this death away. We're talking about the voice of God. We're talking about hearing the voice of God and taking heed to this voice of the Lord this morning. We're talking about right here what Jesus Christ did and what he made you and who we are in him. Amen. The thing is we so oftentimes, and we always give all glory, all honor to the Lord Jesus. All praise goes to Him and worthy of Him, to Him. But the thing is again, the discerning of the body of the Lord. The discernment of the body of Christ, discernment of the voice of God, discernment how God is speaking today, discernment of the will of God. But then yet we got to say, because of our compromises, where are we at? When we read scriptures like Hebrews here of what the Lord Jesus Christ came and how He made things for us and who we are and what we are and how we walk and the things that He's done for us. Can anybody in this church say that they feel like they're walking in the fullness of the potentiality of Christ? Into what He has made for us and what He has given of us? I sure can't do that. So then if we can't testify that we're walking to the fullness of the potentiality of a Christ-filled life, a Holy Ghost-filled life, we could testify, oh, I've got the Holy Ghost. Oh, I've been born again. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've received all things that pertaineth unto life. I've been endued with power. Amen. I pass from death unto life. I can't die. Man, praise God, I can't sin because I've been caught away and hid away in Christ. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. And we can say these things that are so absolute and so right and so correct and so godly and not contesting what you're saying. But then with that being said, we just read in the scriptures, these things came with the demonstration of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, with power and signs. What is a power and sign? Is speaking in tongues a power to you and a sign? You know, we could say yea and amen, but on the other hand, brothers and sisters, the power of God goes beyond that. You know, the power of the life of Christ. You know, again, as we start looking for a place and an opportunity to make sacrifice, we look for a place to deny the flesh. You know, we think of things of fasting. Does anybody desire, and you know, in their flesh, oh, my flesh wants to fast. It's not a fleshly thing. It's not a desire, it's to kill the flesh, to stop the flesh, to say, shut up, you're not running this camp. You know, shut up, flesh. You know, I'm tired of you crying out, shut up, you're not eating today, you're not going to eat tomorrow. Just shut your mouth. You see, that's the Spirit taking authority and putting it under its feet, the flesh, and saying, shut up, you're subject unto this. And you see, this is taking an action of leadership. It's taking an action of authority over the flesh. But if we're always yielding to the desires of the flesh, well, this is the way I want to dress. This is the way I want to live. This is the way I want to look. This is the way I want to fix my hair. This is the way I want to paint my face. Or this is the way, the form-fitting clothes or the fashion jewelry and all those things. This is what I want to do. That means you're fleshly. And if you're fleshly, you're not spiritual. And if you're not spiritual, you have not God's Spirit. And if you have not God's Spirit, then you're none of His. And if you're none of His, then you're going to perish and go to hell. And all the religious formalities that you're doing is just wasting your time. You know, you're better off just to get in the world and live it up and have a good time because this is heaven to you. Because when you find yourself in eternal damnation or hell, you're going to find out that this really is heaven. You know, this world isn't what He has in store for we, the sons of God. But I'll tell you what, the beast mind and the beast or the carnal person, this is a heaven. I'm telling you what, you got water. You know, in hell, they begged for a spittle to be put on their tongue. It's pretty heaven when you got a water faucet. Amen. I tell you what, they'll realize that they're in heaven. You know, and when I say make statements like, well, you may as well just get out there and get with it and enjoy it. You know, that sounds kind of hard and strong. But you know, we're not playing games and just religious formalities, just churchgoers. I read a sign that they had in front of a church. The Lord wants full custody is what it said. He don't want just weekend visitation rights. He wants full custody. But isn't that the way many people think? Come on, brethren. Well, you know, hey, I served God. I went to church on the first week, gave Him the first day. You know, praise God, now I got six. Well, thank God for people at least that are doing that much because there's some not even doing that. But you know, that one day a week visitation might not be bringing blessings, might just be bringing curse. You know, you think that God's going to bless you because you come to church on Easter Sunday? You're going to come here and hear something make you accountable to God. That's my calling. This is my obligation to bring people to an accountability. Oh, I don't want to be accountable to God. I'm just going to do my own thing. And He's just a merciful God. He's just long-suffering God, patient, gentle, and kind. And He's just there with His arms open wide for me to come in just when I feel like it, come in just when I get ready. I remember Brother George using a beautiful woman as an example of what I'm saying right now. He said, you know, this very beautiful or attractive woman, however he expressed it, he said, you know, and a young man loved her and asked her to marry him. And she said, oh, no, not now. And she went off in her frolics of the world, went off and had numerous men and was just frolicking and living a promiscuous life. And then she got older and older and older. And then she comes to this individual. I'll marry you now. He wanted nothing to do with her. He said she was a used up old dish rag. And now think about that for you and your relationship with God. Well, I'm going to take my youth. I'm going to take my strength. I'm going to take my desires. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then one day you're going to say, okay, Lord God, here I am. And the Bible said, serve him in your youth. And you say, well, I've known of old people and stuff that have come in and made it in. Yes, you're talking about the mercy and the grace of God. I know old people that have come in and have served their flesh and served Satan, and God's been gracious and merciful enough to bring them in, but you know, it's not all that way. There's some that he doesn't grant repentance to. Blessed is the man who God remits sin. So what if he's not remitting their sin? They're not blessed. You know, we got to understand the word line upon line and precept upon precept. There are people that go so far that he doesn't receive them in, that they can't find it. They seek after repentance and can't find it. And they seek after it with sorrow and tears and they can't find it. Well, I don't know about that. I've always heard if they got breath, there's hope. Well, you keep on believing that and hearing that. I hear also today's the day of salvation. I hear the word of God. Today is the day, you know, that we serve the Lord, that we give him to. You've heard me quote the scripture many, many times about the Bible talks about some twice dead. What does it mean by that? Twice dead, plucked up by the roots, twice dead. When they're twice dead, they cannot find life. That means they have already been cut off from God. They've been separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot hear the voice of God. They cannot ever hear the voice of God. There's no forgiveness in this world, the Bible says, or the world to come for that individual. So we know that there's people like that. You know, we're talking about sensitivity again to the voice of God. Hearing his voice. What is the voice? What do we hear? What are we submitted to? What are we taking to? You know, we live in such a culture and such a day that everybody has a choice. Oh, you know, we got our rights. We got people's rights. This one's got its rights. This one's got its rights. You got your right to murder children. You got your rights to flaunt yourself out before this world. And everybody's got rights. We take men and we're supposed to be taking their rights away from them as citizens because of the crimes that they've committed. And we put them off into prisons. But then yet we give them rights while they're in there. Our government's paying for perverted things for them to do in the prison systems and because they've got a right. You see, and we're talking about rights, and it's destroyed our nation, destroyed our country. Well, don't you think people should have rights? You know, the people have the rights to follow a standard. That's their right of subjection and submission. I have the right as an American citizen, if we're going to speak in them realms, to abide by the laws of this land. And if I violate these laws, then I've lost my right and I should be incarcerated in such a way. And it's the same way in the Bible. We have a right as a son of God. We have a right as a Christian to worship the Lord and live according to his commandments and to walk in his statutes and his ways. And if we can't walk in his ways, then we're none of his according to his word. So we have a right and our duty and our obligation is to serve the Lord. Our right and our obligation is to take heed to the things that we hear, but at least any time we won't let them slip. Our right is to discern the mind and the voice of God, that we can walk in the obedience to him, because his spirit is the spirit of obedience. Amen. When we see disobedience, it's another spirit altogether. So what kind of right do I have as a Christian? Do I have a right to contest the Lord? Do I have a right to challenge God? Do I have the right to do those kind of things? I don't have that right. I don't have a right to say, you know, this is the way I feel about it. Nobody's concerned about the way you feel about it. Nobody's concerned about the way you interpret the Bible. My Bible says it's not for your private interpretation. Well, I think this. I don't care what you think. You're on your way to hell because of your thinking. You understand what I'm saying? You think, and you think that you know, but you don't know what you ought to know, and you need to quit thinking and let him do the thinking. You need to come into the mind of the Lord, the revelation of the Lord, and walk in him. You see, because when we think, we get in the way. When we think, we muddle things up and fuddle things up and cross things up and contaminate everything. Man's mind is contrary to God. Man's thinking is contrary to God. Man's thinking is going to put him in eternal damnation. Well, I think it's okay to eat of this fruit of that tree. I think it's all right. And that kind of thinking is what gets us in trouble. We need to discern the voice of God, discern the mind of God. Instead of just looking for what we could just kind of make it in, we should be running as hard as we can to press our way in and do the things and go a little bit further. You know, the Bible said when they ask of you to go a mile, to go the extra, to go two. You know, if they ask you for the coat, give them the cloak also. So the thing is, what is it saying? Why are we looking for just what we think we can just kind of skim by with? Man, we should be pressing as hard as we can and doing more. This is when the press is where the rewards come. You know, a lot of times we do just what we think is obligated. There is rewards because it is obedience, but it's not the kind of reward about the one going the extra mile or the one going a little bit farther or making a little bit more of a sacrifice. Do you desire to make sacrifices unto the Lord? We go back into the old covenant. You know, they made sacrifices. They would bring the first fruit. They would bring the best that they had. They didn't bring some halt, lame, and blind lamb for the sacrifice. They brought the best, one of the firstborn. And they would bring this to make a sacrifice. What are you bringing to the Lord? Are you bringing a halt, lame, and blind sacrifice? I know it sounds like reproof, but see, I'm reproving not you, brothers and sisters. I'm reproving the carnal mind. I know we all war with the same thing. You know, I get up here and preach, you know, and I'm dealing with these same things, brethren. I got to deal with the same kind of mind, the same kind of thoughts. You know, and I've had my thinking get in the way many times. Well, I don't see none of all this. I think it's okay. But what happens when you do that? What if the provisions and the blessings of God are right there for you, but because you're thinking wrong that He's holding it back from you? Well, my Bible said He holds nothing back from us. He gives us everything that pertaineth unto life. My Bible teaches that He chastens and disciplines them that are disobedient. And He cuts holes in their pockets when they're disobedient in their ways of finances. And they can stop their mind from receiving the things of God. Because my Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. So if they're spiritually discerned, that means that there's an orchestration from the heavens to give you the discernment to discern the mind and the thoughts of God. So it's not dependent on your religious studies and your church going and those things like that. They have to be spiritually discerned, and the things of the Spirit come from Him. And if He holds them back from you, then you're going to walk in the dryness of your carnal mind and carnality, and you're never going to receive the things of God and not going to be able to walk in the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And the thing is we got to get the things in order that we see and perceive and understand and comprehend. And we're making allowances for all the things that pertain unto the flesh. And then we want the deep mysteries of God and the things that pertain unto life. And we want to go into those kind of things and thoughts. But we got to get the elementary things, these simplistic things, in order and lined up with them. Yes, we should desire the deeper things of God, the mysteries of God, the things of the heights, depths, widths, and lengths. But the thing is why we're desiring those things and we're not even walking in the simplistic ordinances of God, how could we expect to receive those things? Because again, they have to be spiritually discerned. So the first thing we do to where we can have spiritual discernment is we got to learn what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be walking in the Spirit of God? You know, we know how to walk as men. I said, come on, let's walk over to the house and get a burger. We all know how to do that. But how do we walk in the Spirit? How are we led by the Spirit? How do we perceive the Spirit of God and the voice of God? If you find that there's two voices in your head and you're always reasoning against the other one, well, I don't see that. I don't know about that. Well, come on, that's just the way you see it. You see, that's a contrary mind. Because I'm speaking the Word of God to you this morning. I'm not speaking about my desires. If I want to talk about my desires of the flesh, man, let's go to the beach. I don't care to do that, but I'm just talking as flesh man again. Who wants to go to the beach? Now, come on, I know that somebody said, man, I kind of like the beach. I can't stand it. You know why? Because everybody else likes it. And you know, they're all there defiling it and perverting it. There's a lot of beautiful things in this world that I like, but I don't like it when everybody else wants to be there at the same time. You know, I don't like to be around all the perverts and the filth and all the stuff. So I've abstained from going to those places. You know, when I go to the beach where nobody else wants to be there and you're wrapped up in a jacket and a coat and you got earmuffs on, man, and you're shivering. Hey, look at the water coming in. I'd rather be there freezing cold as be out there with a bunch of, I'm not saying it, naked people. How's that? That was nice. Well, yeah, they got bathing suits on. My gosh. But brethren, what are we speaking about? Are we here just getting reproved and oh, this and that? But I'm saying, see, there's a mind. There's a mind of God. There's a mind of man. There's a mind of the flesh. There's a mind of the Spirit. And if the Bible so clearly teaches us that the mind of man is contrary to the mind of God. So the thing is if I come here on a continuous basis speaking about the way your mind thinks, you know why? Because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. I know how your mind thinks. I'm very good in thinking in that kind of mind. I know what would be easy and what would be pleasing. And what a lot of lukewarm is when you start taking your will, your thoughts, your desires, and all those things and mixing them with God's will and God's thoughts and God's desires. And then we got lukewarm vomit. And then we could fit in with this religious order of this day and hour. Oh, God loves you so much. He wants you to have that new Rolls Royce, Brother Ed. He wants you to have that brand new Cadillac, Brother Ed. He wants you to have this and that. Well, does He want you to have those things? Yes, He wants you to have things that are nice and pleasing and things like that. But when those things have you and you forget Him and His will and His mind and the sacrifices for Him to gain those things, you ain't getting them from the Lord. You're getting them from your flesh, your fleshly desires. And those are your rewards because there's a reward for your labor. And the Bible's being fulfilled. You see, what is his desire for you? What is his will for you? You see, you don't know the will of God in many times. For some, it would be to cut your hand off. You mean God wants me to walk around without no hand? Sure he does. He wants you to take the one good hand that you still got and pluck your eyeballs out of your head. That's the will of God. And you say, I don't receive that. Well, it is the will of God if you're walking contrary to him and your eyes are offending and your hands are offending. So you see, we're talking about the will of God. See, his mind isn't your mind. His ways isn't your ways. His desires aren't your desires. You see, we think we've made this God into a God of provision, that the only way that we know that God's blessed is because we have wealth and we've got shelter and we've got lights and we've got food. So we know we're walking in the blessings of God. What a deceptive message. You know, if we're going to weigh out the blessings of God and these people are being blessed of the Lord, there's some real reprobates out there, man, that they've got 1,600 homes and they live in a house that their master bedroom's bigger than this church. You know, now if we're going to say that this is the blessings of God, then we've got things crossed up. But we've been under a message and a doctrine for many years. I'm talking about Christianity and prosperity. You know, and they take and they think, well, you know, surely God, if he was great with me, I wouldn't be prospering. Those are the uncertain sounds that go forth. And it gives some people to follow after a similar spirit or familiar sound. And they're following after that. Why? Because they're being bundled together. Yes, it's the Lord. He's the one that turned them over to a deception and delusion. The Lord is the one that done that. Well, why would God do that? For the others will follow them and they could all be cast into eternal damnation. Well, that doesn't sound like the will of God. Well, then start reading your Bible. You know, yes, his perfect will is for none to perish, not even one. But then yet when there's such a large number going into eternal damnation and such a small flock and few be there that find it, then the thing is you say, well, God's perfect will isn't being done. No, it isn't. Because he gave you a sovereignty and you have a sovereignty to worship and to praise him and to love him and walk in his ways and the ways that are pleasing unto him. He gave you a sovereignty to lay your life down and to give it as a living sacrifice. He gave you a sovereignty to worship him. He didn't make you do that. If he wanted to do it that way, he could have made us all come in here and just stand for the rest of our lives with our hands lifted up saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You realize that? You know, there's many people that they win their girlfriends or whatever by their finances, by their wealth, by the things they've got. And it's something natural in a woman. She's looking for a man that has substance, has things that could provide. I mean, that's something a woman's going to look for. This is something that God put in a woman's heart. She's looking for somebody to be a provider, somebody to take care of her, somebody that would, you know, give her a home and take care of the natural needs. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a reason for that. And it's the same thing in God. But that woman only loves him because of the provisions, then there's a problem. And you know, I serve God because I don't want to go to hell. Well, that's a poor reason. But man, I don't think it's a poor reason, you might say, because I don't want to go to hell. Man, I heard that place is hot. And I heard that, you know, that it's miserable. And I say, yeah, it is. But if that's the only reason you serve God, you're not going to make it. You know, that might be the thing to turn you. It might be that this young man has got a good job and can be a provider and it made that girl look his direction. Yes, but there's going to have to be something else that comes in there to make a strength and a unity. You know, a woman will walk with a man when he has nothing. Because the thing that she might have been looking at might be stripped away, and there still should be a cleaving there and a oneness there. Amen? But what about with God? Well, I serve God because he's a good God and he's blessing me and I've got a job, I got electricity, I got a home and this and that. And then when you lose all that and you walk away from him, you never knew him, you never had him. You never fell in love with him. And the thing is you might start out just like a relationship with a boy and a girl through lust. Most of them do. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I do. That's where me and you differ. But that lust or that infatuation could turn into love. A lot of times we say, well, I love you. Do you? Are you willing to lay your life down for me? Now we're talking about the mind of God. That's what he says in his mind. You're willing to lay your life down. But how strong is the love in the couples today? Well, he lost his career, lost his job, man. I just don't love him no more. Go get me one that does. See, there was never no love there. They had love for flesh and love for those carnal things. But see, God is the same way, brothers. We look at the things that we see and understand to understand the mind of God. Do you think that he just wants you to love him because he's going to keep you out of hell? You need to love him because he loved you so much that he made and paid the price for you. Don't go there. And you have some desire to worship him and honor him and praise him and love him. Not because of what he's giving you and doing for you. You love him because he's God and he's a good God and he's always been good to you. Amen. I've watched things over the years. I've watched little children from homes that aren't disciplined, where the mothers and the fathers don't make them respect and don't teach them disciplinary things. I found that when a home with children are disciplined, where you hear the little kid squalling out because they've had a belt put to them or whatever, you'll see those children love those parents. Children don't understand it at the time. They don't like it, but they know that this was done through the action of love. And I watched the parents that chose not to do that because they followed after the voice of carnality in a mind. And we're going to do it like Dr. Spock or whatever the fool's name is, I'm sorry to say. Well, we're going to stand you in the corner. I'm not all against that. There's times that you can put a child in a corner. But if that's the only form of discipline that you have, you've missed the Bible. The Bible says to not spare the rod. It says to beat them. That's what the Bible teaches you. It says to beat the kid. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then start reading your Bible. It tells you not to kill them, but beat them. But I'm just telling you, when you find somebody doing it in a godly way, in the mind of the Lord, you'll see that child cleave to those parents. I've watched this. They know that someone cares. We've had children come to this school that weren't disciplined in their home, and they found discipline in our school. And I watched the respect that they had for the teachers and things because they found that to be love. And their parents didn't understand that. You know, sometimes you have to learn to discipline. I ate what was put on the table as a child. Well, I don't like that. I didn't have that choice. Well, I'm not eating that. I didn't have that choice. Well, you don't think we ought to allow our children to have likes and dislikes? I think they can, but I'll tell you what, if you keep allowing them to have their way, they're only going to want the pie and the dessert, and they ain't going to eat anything that's good for them. I gave this young man that came over and stayed with me for a few weeks here, I gave him a bad time because he didn't like anything green. He liked all the sweet stuff and the cakes. Breakfast with him was two of them, what is it? A honey bun, yeah. You know, a lot of times we don't look at things like that. You see, if the Bible said that we start understanding the spiritual things or the invisible things by what appears, a lot of times you don't think nothing about a contrary child. You don't think nothing about a child that talks back to mom and dad. You don't think nothing about, you know, when the disobedience, but you have made a spiritual way for that child of rebellion. And you see, somebody else is looking at it totally different. You see, if you're judging it by the righteousness, by the mind of the Lord, and by the revelation of the Lord, when you see a woman running a household, there's something bad there, something out of order there. When you see the man running the household, there's something out of order there too. You say, wait a minute, it should be the Lord Jesus Christ running the household, the man subjected to him. So I had to clarify that. Well, I think that the man's the head, even if he's wrong, and they're going to have to submit to that. Well, that's where we're going to disagree. But I do know there's some truth in that also. A woman that thinks she's got the mind and the ability to be in disagreement with her husband and not subject to that is because the man, many times, he's got a mind greater than the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to do it his way. And then we're going to have some things out of order, and it's going to show up. We need to start looking at the things that appear, brethren, and we need to start making judgments of these things. And analyzing these things because they're showing some things that are very significant in the spiritual dimension. You say, you mean to tell me, preacher, that the way a man eats could be showing something about his spiritual life? And I say, yay and amen. You say, I don't see that. That's why you're blind. I see it. You mean to tell me that if a guy doesn't have the same diet as you has, that he's going to hell? I didn't say that. But it might make me wonder about him. Say, oh yeah, you've crossed the line, boy. No, I'm telling you, there's things that show up. There's things that would seem so insignificant to you. Say, it don't matter. You know, here's a man, I just read a thing, and he said, you mamas and you children, you daughters that are wearing pajamas around the house. He said, it's an abomination. Well, I don't see it. Well, maybe that's why you and I ain't walking where that man was walking at. Maybe that's why that we ain't walking in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the depths that he was walking at. Well, I kind of like where I'm at. I don't. I want to go farther, deeper. What are the allowances that you're making? I mean, if we're going to talk about this being allowance, what's the next allowance? Well, just because Brother George Pike said it. Well, the thing is, let me say something. Now, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your spiritual discernment. I'm talking about what people see in your convictions and seeing your Christ-like life. I'm talking about what your children see, what's going on in maybe the privacy of your home. You know, what are they seeing? What are they watching? What are they looking at? And then you wonder why they go. I had a woman say, well, you know, the Bible said if you raise them up in the way that they should go, if they depart, that they'll come back. Well, the thing is they didn't raise them up in the way that they should go. They're standing on a scripture that they didn't fulfill. Oh, I got the Bible, I can quote it, so that must mean I'm fulfilling it. How do you raise up a child in the way that it should go? You raise it up godly and holy and virtuous and righteous. You discipline, you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort. But nowadays it's all sweet things and all candy and all the things that are pleased. And don't tell me, kids back-talking teachers, back-talking authority, people don't have no fear. You know what? I think like when I was a kid in a heathen school, I mean, they would take a wear you out. If they said, Coons, no chewing gum in the class, you didn't chew gum and you chewed gum, they'd take you down to the principal's office and they'd take a paddle to you. I'll tell you what, man, I've had my hind end lit up. You know, we could smile about it, but I wasn't smiling then. I mean, they brought my feet off the ground, son. You know, hey, man, Coons, he's a tough guy. Yeah, man, this tough guy, man, was holding back everything from crying. I'll tell you what, you talk about burning. You say, what do you think there, preacher? I think we need some more of that in our culture and our country. You know, I have been incarcerated as a youth in a juvenile hall facility. My dad came to visit me. I said, Dad, I don't like this place. He said, that's good. Maybe you won't want to come back. But nowadays, they like it. I just read an article. Brother Chuck showed me that one of these inmates that we've been working with and helping about a preacher came in and had discernment. He said, you know what? You really don't want to get out of here, do you? And the guy said, well, sure I do. And he said, no, you don't. You see, they got a place. They wake up in the morning. They're fed. They got air conditioning. They got heat. They go into a little courtroom, you know, and they play ball. They play this and they play cards and stuff like that. Hey, I got everything taken care of here. This is why our prisons are in epidemic proportions of overloaded and overfilled. Because, hey, why do I want to leave this place? You know, we think about the chain gangs. I can remember some of that when I was a kid, seeing guys going down the road with shackles on and chained together. Maybe some of you don't remember that. You know what? If we would go back to that, and instead of sitting around playing cards and watching TV and stuff, they're out there working their hind end off. Maybe that's not proper terminology, but I'm trying to express my thinking. My point's well made. Maybe they wouldn't want to go back. If they were made to work harder in there, then when they go out and get a job, say, you know what? I think it's a lot easier to go out here and get a 40-hour-a-week job. See, there's things made too easy now. You say, well, I thought we was talking about the mind of the Lord. I'm using parallels. Let me tell you about our God. He disciplines them that he loves. He chastens them. You understand that? And the thing is he chastens us and it brings us into an obedience to bear fruit. But you see, we don't see the fruit of things because the chastening is gone and they're letting people out early times and stuff because they're so overburdened. But there's a way to stop that overburdening. The handout systems, the welfare systems are overburdened. There's a way to stop it. Everything is overburdened right now in the benevolence departments. Well, you know, we got to show the love of God. I say, yeah. But sometimes the love of God is like I told a man at my front door. I said, go home and sit in the dark. And I said, next month, pay your light bill before you go buy your booze. Don't make me as a preacher feel bad for you because your kids are sitting in the dark. It ain't the preacher's fault that you're sitting in the dark. It's because you're ignorant and you're buying booze. Yeah, he wanted to fight with me. Too bad. Well, you're a preacher. You can't be doing that. I would rather fist fight a man on my front porch as give some pervert money because he's out frolicking it in his booze. And you say, oh, do you mean that, preacher? Yes, I mean that. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, that's okay. I don't want to fight. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I would rather fight with him as having handy money for he could defile the finances of this work and this church. You see, I'm talking about making people accountable. But see, where's it going to begin at? It better start beginning in the house of God. Well, you know, we got to reach out and love people and give them finance and give them help. I do that. While you're thinking about it, I've been doing that. But what I'm saying, some of these people need reproof. They need to be exhorted a little bit. Hey, buddy, don't come crying to me because you're hungry. Go get a job. You see, I'm talking about some action, some discipline. You know, we Christianity, we got into this lukewarm lasciviousness and all this, oh, God just loves us so much and everything's okay. We need to be pressing. We need to be laboring. We need to be working. We need to be pushing. We need to be sacrificing. You see, we've got on easy street. We've got too congenial. We got too charismatic. We got too light. Oh, we love you too. You know what? We walk with anything and everybody. Oh, I love you. Praise God. Let's get arm in arm. Let's go help this one and go help this one and be partakers with this one. We've been helping other churches, brethren. We've been doing some things for people who don't have our convictions, trying to reach out and look for a platform that we can maybe bring the Word of God to them. But when they reject it, then we go on. This boy that we went over here to North Dakota to help, you know how many letters he sent me asking for more help? Well, I'm going over to start another church. Could you help? Could you send some finances? Not interested. We did that. We reached out in love and we sent finances. We sent teams. We sent crews and we set him up. And he lost it, which I saw that before we got out of town. In his actions and the things that he was doing. But we still showed the love of God to do it. But when I left there, I came up with one thing and I told one of the elders that. I said, this man needs some oversight from his pastor because what he's doing isn't going to work the way he's going about it. You see, we drop sometimes when we start talking about discipline, when we talk about making things hurt, when we talk about sacrifice. We shouldn't, brethren. We should be desiring. And when we read the scriptures and we find out what the blessings and the provisions of God that came to people that did sacrifice. Sometimes our sacrifices that we think is a sacrifice isn't. I shared a video with you that I watched, a little video clip sent to me. A little 16-year-old girl, dad bought her a brand new Lexus. I think it was a 70-some thousand-dollar car. She walked out the door. They had a bow tie on it right in front of this nice big mansion. And she started crying. That's not the color I wanted. Come on now. I'm telling you the truth. That's sad. That man thinks that he's giving to his child, but he created a monster. He created a demon, a devil. A little child would do something like that is demon possessed. And we could talk about going to the way extremes about a $60,000 car, but it could be the kind of food that mama sets on the table for a child. I ain't eating that. You sound kind of harsh this morning, Brother Rob. The reason I'm sounding harsh is because it's demon spirits and we don't know how to discern those things. And it's some little demon spirit speaking back at you with a smile on its face saying, I don't want that. And you're going to cater to that kind of devil and you've ruined a child and created a monster just like that dad with a $60,000 car. So we go to the extreme of things and we bring it down to what you don't think's important. You say, well, I think it's important to dress holy, but just not at home. Praise the Lord. Amen. What is needed? What do you need in your house? What do you need in your home? What do you need in your spirit? What do you need in your life? What do you need in your mind of thought? What do you need? If you don't have what you need, then why don't you have it? And what's holding it back? I'm not talking about natural provisions. I'm not talking about because you have transportation and lights and all those things. We don't weigh out the depths of God in that. The thing is when we cry out unto the Lord, I want to know that my prayer is heard. I want to know that the thing that I'm petitioning the throne of God about is being granted unto me even before I ask. And the only way that could be is because I'm walking in obedience unto the Lord. So now we got to discern what is obedient to God. Is going to church on Sunday being obedient to God? I can say yes, it is. But if that's all that it requires, then we're in trouble. Because there's a lot of church going folks. My wife was a Catholic when I met her. She was a churchgoer. I knew I was a heathen, and she just didn't know she was one. But you know, I remember when I gave my life to the Lord. I'd been around, heard the message of Jesus Christ as a child and different things. So I knew some things. And I can remember talking to her about salvation. And I was a stinking heathen. You've been born again? What's that? Well, I got been to catechism. Don't know what born again is? Then what was catechism all about? Don't you think the first thing I learned about what it means to be born again? Amen. Sad to say that needs to be preached in some of these churches that preach that message. I know we got a message that says we got to not lay again that foundation and go on into greater things. Yes, but some don't even have that part down. What must I do to be born again? And if I'm not born again, I can't inherit the kingdom of God. If you are born again, what's that make you different than the guy sitting next to you or the guy that you work with? Can you see any difference between you and him and you're born again? If you can't see a difference between him and you, then you ain't born again. You should find first and utmost a born-again person receives the mind of the Lord in measure. But that mind that they get in measure, in the simplistic measure, is going to be contrary to the mind of your fellow workers and the people that you work with. And they're going to be offended by your presence. They're going to be offended by you without you ever even opening your mouth. When you're truly born again, you are going to be an offense to people in your workplace. I took a job at a workplace. The manager, that was my boss. He was a jokester, always telling jokes, and they were real filthy, continually. He told some ill jokes about Brother Paul, the apostle. This man even felt like he was a Christian. I just walked away. It upset him, because I wouldn't sit with him and listen. It cost me a job. First time I'd ever been fired in my life, because I wouldn't sit and listen. I didn't even open my mouth. I just walked away. It offended him. Are you an offense to people out there in another mind? You should be. Well, I'm not going to offend nobody. I'd be better off put a millstone around. I'm not talking about you offending them. I'm talking about your presence of the Lord in your life. Being born again, having God's Spirit's going to offend them. And they're not going to like it. They're going to not like what you stand for. They're not going to like the way you dress. They're not going to like the way you do because you don't do what they do and it makes them under conviction. You realize that? I shared with you when I sat down with my mother at a table. I never opened my mouth and said a word. I hadn't seen my mother in months. I come into her house, sit down. She goes over the refrigerator and pulls a Budweiser out and sets it down on the table. I never said one word. And she sat down and goes, what's wrong with this? I said, I didn't say there was. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with this. You see, she was convicted by the presence that dwelled within me. I didn't have to say anything. And many times I don't say anything. They know already. Why should I say something that they already know? I know the Bible teaches we got to stir up that pure mind and those things. And there's time we speak things that you already know. I do understand that. But a lot of times when we talk about dealing with them people out there, I've had street people, man, quote more Bibles around some of these missions where they get free handouts and food. They know their Bible's better than the preachers that are in there preaching. And I've had them quote it back. Amen. What's necessary? We're going to close here right directly. But what's necessary for your Christianity? Well, it's just necessary that I said this little prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Is that the magic thing to do? Then what happened to all Billy Graham's followers? Because he went all around the world getting them to say that prayer with them. And where are they at? Where's all of his followers? Oh, but Billy Graham's a great man of God. It's okay. It's funny, the Baptist church, he was a Baptist, and they put him out, and they wouldn't even let him come in. And they told all their people at Bob Jones University, Bob, the senior one, not the lukewarm one, the son, but the senior one, he said, we're breaking fellowship, and we will not support him. Now, why would a Baptist break fellowship with Billy Graham? Like Brother George said, he's Catholic. Pleases men. Had another preacher say that then. You've heard me say this many times for many years about our Protestant churches just become Catholic. No different. See, Catholics, you can go to church there. You go and count your beads, say your Hail Marys, eat your little communion, eat the body of Christ, and take and drink a little of the blood. Go on back about your business. Nowhere, no correction about your filthy, perverted lifestyle. No correction about the way you live. Just come in, go through these little motions, and go back. Well, that's what a Protestant church do. Oh, Jesus loves you. Nobody's perfect. You know, he loves you so much. He knows that you're going to do those things, but he died for you. You know, don't let nobody tell you how to dress. Don't let nobody tell you how you're supposed to live. You know, you think I'm mocking here, but this is the message that's going on in the churches. I read it on these people's walls and in their notes and things. And they're continually saying this. Oh, it don't matter. I thank God. And we get a bunch of filthy, perverted women that live like dogs and whores. And they get on there in their blogs and they're writing their filth and their perversion and all their stuff. And they've got a whole world following after him, and it's a cesspool of filth and iniquity, and God's sick of your America. He's sick of your organized churches. He's sick of your president. He's sick of your government. He's sick of your school systems, and he's going to wipe it out. We're talking about the Lord here this morning, and I'm saying this to you. Yes, you know the grace, you know the mercy, you know the compassion, you know the long-suffering, the gentleness of God. We all do. And we testify about that, the goodness and the grace and the mercy. But what about when the judgment comes? And if the judgment comes to the land that we live in and dwell in, I know your doctrine, you know, well, we're going to be raptured out of here and thus, and thus, and we won't have to worry about it. Well, I say that there's a time of Jacob's troubles and there's some perilous times and there's going to be some times that the church is going to endure and they're going to show the strength and the love and the power of salvation. And it's going to weed out a lot of these religious people that are just religious thinking, well, you know, praise God, I love the Lord, you know, this and that. And the Bible said that they'll curse God and wish that they were dead. The Son of God ain't going to do that. You understand that? You know why he isn't going to do that? Because he has no fear of death. Did we just read this here? He has no fear of death. So why would I curse God about death when I have no fear of death? You see, we talk about these things because of the mind of man. And the mind of man that has illuminated itself into an angel of light. And it's illuminated itself and they've taken over our country and our world. You see, the thing is we Christian people started saying, we've got to get our kids a college education. And we got Christian people pushing their children to go to colleges. And they're wondering why all their children are a bunch of dogs and perverts and whores and whoremongers. Because that's the mind that they're getting when they go to college. They're telling them it's okay, this is all right, this is permissible. Oh, I'm a Christian too. This is what's going on out there. As I expressed what Brother Chuck said about his niece, had to make a replica of a mosque as a school project. Why didn't they ever make a replica of maybe the Holy of Holies? Something that would glorify God. But no, the schools will make allowances to do those things. But we're all pressing to push them in that. We've got to get in because it's a beast mind. They know that the powers and unity of the way they think. We know as Christians that we got to come into the same mind, the mind of Christ. We got to have the same judgment, the Bible says. We got to think the same way. We can't pierce each other through. We got to start thinking the same, walking the same, in the same mind, and we find strength, unity, and power there. Well, don't you know Satan knows the same thing? That he's going to find power in the unified mind of the beast and it all thinking that way? So the things that we've taught from the sacred desk, the things that have been promoted and pushed by God-fearing men of God, then they go off into the schools and they contradict it? Well, you know, we don't think that way. We believe that they have an alternate lifestyle. Oh, and yes, they could be a Christian too. This is what's going on out there. But then, yeah, we have to shut our mouth. Oh, you're just a troublemaker, preacher. You're always stirring things up. You know, we don't need to discuss that. It's because you come into the mind of the beast and you think like a beast and you think in the mind of the beast and you find yourself being a religious devil. And you say, who are you talking to, Brother Rob? I'm talking to anybody who has ears to hear. And we need to make sure that we haven't been deceived and walking in the deception of this day and this hour. Because everybody's a Christian. Everybody loves Jesus. Go and start interviewing the Catholics. And I want you to come back with a testimony. You found one Catholic that says, oh, I'm on my way to hell. You ain't going to find that. But then you find me one that's living a godly, overcoming life and keeping himself out of the world. It's a different deal altogether. I say, I bet you I could find one. You may. Go spend your time doing it. Bring them on. I'll shake their hand. I'll greet them with a holy kiss in your presence. But I'm just talking about the mind of it. But where's the Protestant mind? Where's the mind of Christ? Where's Christianity? Where's convictions? Where's sacrifice? Jesus, I know when he came and walked among men, he just had all the blessings of God coming to him every moment. You know, I mean, just everything. Was he just so blessed all the time? You need to read your Bibles. He was hated. They hated him. And he's the firstborn of many brethren. And they said they hated him without any cause. And they say they're going to hate you also. But, oh, we're living in this Christianity. If you got people upset, you just don't have the love of God. You see, yes, I'm mocking it. What is Christ going to do for you? Or what are you going to do for Christ, should I say? Christ has already done everything he's ever going to do for you. He shed his blood and died for you and gave you the provision of his Spirit. And you've got to receive that and accept it and walk in it, in the power and the authority of it. But you're walking around in your measly little self-willed life and, oh, poor me, and I get to do what I want. You're on your way to hell. It's that simple. You got to say, I am a servant of God, and I've given my life as a living sacrifice, and I no longer make the decisions. I no longer live where I want to live. I no longer go where I want to go. I don't even pick the church that I go to. It is all through the ordination of the living God, and I'm submitted to him. I'm following after him and I'm walking with him. And it's him, not me. It's Christ that lives, not I. You say, well, I like to kind of have my own thing going. You keep it going. Amen. Maybe they can put it on your tombstone. He did his own thing. I hope that somebody, if they get the opportunity to bury my old sorry fleshly hide, that they could put on there something different than that. Because I don't want to do my own thing. My own thing will put me into damnation and corruption. My own thing, my own will, my own wants, my own desires, my own lust, my own things. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. You do what you want, you're going to hell. You do what you like, you're going to hell. You do what feels good, you're going to hell. You do what he wants you to do, you're sacrificing. You do what he wants you to do, you're sacrificing and you're laying your life down and you're not popular and you're not liked. Your name may not be up in the lights. You say, I don't like your Christianity. Well, then go follow the other Christianity. If you like it, you're going to find out it's not real. It's like the kid, I don't like that green stuff. Just give me the sweets. Give me some more sweets. I like cake. I like pie. It shows up. It'll show up. You may not see it when you're young. Your little children may not see the lack of your discipline or the lack of your doing those kind of things or lack of showing godliness and the things that you should be showing. It may not show up. You might not see it when they're little, but you'll see it. The little allowances that you make, even for diet, the little allowances will show up later in life and you'll see it. Do you think you ought to shove green beans down a kid that can't stand them's throat? Well, there's a little bit of grace sometimes, but yes. No. I don't know. I'm the only guy raised up in the house that had to eat what was set before me. Come on now. Brother Ed, you did. Brother Andy did. See, I got a few of you old timers. You know, I mean, the thing is that I understand there's going to be some things that people don't like. And, you know, but when I was a kid, my nose went up in the air for liver and onions, but now I make it. You say, I ain't got there yet. I'm not quite there yet. And again, you say, well, I don't think diet has to do with anything. It may. It may show something. It may show something, because I ain't eating that when it comes to the Word of God. Oh, he wants me to do what? Come on now. He wants me to do what? I think of some of the things that the men of God of old, patriarchs of old, were asked to do. I'm sure they went looking for a flint knife for circumcision, whistling and singing. Hey, man, hey. I doubt it. Come on now. Think about things that they've been asked to do. What about the disciples? They're going to go out and get beaten for his name's sake? Oh, man, I saw that. You know what happiness was, and that was the definition. Get beat for the name of the Lord, you know. Come on now. The Lord Jesus Christ asks us to do things that isn't always nice and you're looking forward to. Have you had a Gethsemane experience? Have you had to get before the Lord and pray? God, can this thing pass from me? Or is this what you want me to do? Have you ever found yourself praying that way? Saying, Lord, you know, and this is more than I can handle. And then you find his voice come and say, no, you can do this because you can do all things through me because I'm strengthening you. I love y'all and appreciate you. You know, brethren, I hope if we got anything out of this message today, that we got one thing out of it, and one thing is this, is that let's quit looking for what's pleasing to our flesh and let's start looking to what's pleasing to God. What moves the Spirit of God? What pleases God? And when you start pleasing the Lord, seeking after the kingdom of God first, the things that you need in your flesh will be added to you. You understand that? The men of God, the patriarchs of old, the apostles, they had fleshly needs, brethren. They ate, they had to rest, and they had to do things. But they were more concerned about following the Spirit of God. And in their following the will and the yielding of the Spirit of God, God met those provisions for them. Amen. I know you have needs and businesses and those kind of things, and you seek the kingdom first, and he'll add those to you. If we're going to think in the mind of Christ and think spiritual, we think about Jesus. Firstborn of many brethren, he's our example. He wasn't seeking his own, he was seeking yours. And we as Christians aren't seeking our own, what's pleasing to us, what we like, what our tastes are, and what the things are of such. We're looking to do something to benefit the kingdom of God. And when people see sacrifice in you, it moves them. Because if you're just going along with whatever that you've got, they're relative to that. For more, I want and desire, I want and desire. But when they see you sacrificing things that are attainable to you and giving those things up, it moves them. Because that's not the mind of the flesh. The mind of the flesh doesn't take and give. It receives. But the mind of the Spirit gives. Amen. So let's be givers. Let's give our life as a sacrifice. Let's give unto the Lord. Amen. It's good to have Brother J.R. with us today. Amen. Amen. Pleasure to have you here, little brother. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this morning. It's a wonderful thing to ask the Lord into our heart, but we need to ask him to stay and abide. We had a message a few days ago about abide and what it means to abide in the Lord and the Lord abide in you. Praise God. You might come to church and you might feel his presence. You might feel the touch of the Lord. And that's wonderful and that's great. But I want to feel the abiding presence and the power of his salvation. And I want to stay walking in the Spirit of the living God. Do you have fear of your eternity? Of the destiny of your eternity? Are you one that believes that you're predestined in Christ? The Bible said that if you've been predestined in him, then it says the reason of your predestination is to conform. This is what the Bible says now. If you say that you are predestined in Christ, that you're a son of God, that you're born again, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, that means that you were predestined. And if you were predestined in Christ, it was for the purpose of one thing and one thing only, is to conform to the image of God. And you know what the image of God is? It's sacrifice. It is absolutely laying your life down. Amen. And that's what we as the sons of God are conforming to. Amen. Some of you brethren may come into the altars. The altars are open this morning, but you come in, we're going to pray with Brother Dale. He's our healer, our deliverer, the Prince of Peace. He took the stripes upon his back for Brother Dale, that he could receive a touch from heaven. Because he's risen, we know his power. We know his strength. We're not just going through religious motions here. We're abiding in the Word of God. And the Word of God says if they're sick and afflicted among you, to anoint them with oil. Amen. Most gracious Father, I pray in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. That name that has been given to us that has all authority and all power, Lord God. Not doing this in the might of my own or religion, but in the might and the power of the living God and by His Spirit. Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, Lord God, that You touch this, my brother, with healing touch, Lord God. Let this pain depart from this body. Lord God, let the virtue of the living God go forth through this, my brother, and touch this infirmity, Lord God. Strengthen and anoint and touch and heal in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, You know where these vertebrae, these muscles, and these tendons and things are hurting, Lord God. And Father, we ask for a touch right now in the name of Jesus. Touch Him, Lord Jesus. Anoint Him, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For we love You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You can expect great things. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. You love Him this morning.
He is my everything.
Let's sing that together.
Jesus is.
Let's don't just sing it. Let's pray that as a prayer that He is our everything. And when He's your everything, you have need of nothing because He's given you everything. Amen. And you're content with the things that you have because you know that He's given them unto you. And when you're content and walking in Him, if He chooses to add an increase to your substance, rejoice in the Lord. But don't seek after that. Seek after Him and more of Him. Seek after the ways that are pleasing unto Him. Father God, honor the words that have been spoken forth from the sacred desk, Lord God. Let us truly be ones that take heed to what we've heard. Thank You, Jesus. Let me expound on that scripture. I'm going to read it again from Hebrews 2nd chapter 1st verse. It says, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest any time that we should let them slip. The word earnest, it gives a couple different definitions for it. It says super abundantly. So if I said to you, give more super abundantly to what you've heard today, you say, well, I'm not sure if I could define that. It says more abundant, the more earnest, exceedingly more frequent. Sometimes we're guilty of not taking the real earnest or abundant to the things that we hear. I could talk about me. I know the Bible says all men's hearts are fashioned alike. There's been times that there's been exhortations gone forth from men of God that was from the throne of God in heavens, and we didn't take heed to it. And because of the lack of the obedience to the word, we found sacrifice in our life. Maybe that's not your testimony, but we could sit around and talk about our natural dads. I've been behind the woodshed, man. My dad wore me out, you know. My dad done this and my dad done that. My mom, boy, she was fast with her hands, man. I had a Sugar Ray Leonard. Man, she could slap you across the face before it ever got out, the whole word. And we could talk about those things and maybe laugh about those things and stuff. You know, I've been with brethren. We talked about the reproofs that we've been under. You know, we talk about time walking into the presence of Brother Pike, boy, and put your finger in your face and wear you out. Yeah, we've all been there, and we might kind of chuckle about it, but we talk about the love and the growth and the strength that we receive from those things. But I could also talk about the times that we heard the exhortations go forth and we didn't take the earnest heed. Frequent, like it said here too. Not frequent enough. So you say, man, I really listened well today. But see, we're still listening when we're going down the road to work tomorrow. We're still listening and paying attention to the things that we heard, that they won't slip, that they will place. Bible talks about the seeds that's planted in a garden, and some of them were planted on stony ground. Foul. Come by and just ate them up. You see, they wasn't taking heed. They should have got down into a place. I want to be some fruitful soil that a seed could get down in and bring forth 100-fold. Amen. Amen. Thank You for the adequate time this morning. Let's be in prayer one for another. Brethren, let's be in prayer that the endeavors of this little work could increase and do more and do greater. Amen. There's people that are in need. And there's ways that we can meet their needs and try to be partakers and try to help. Let's don't quit making a voice. Let's don't back off on being evangelistic. Let's don't back off on being mission-minded. Amen. I love you all and appreciate you. Appreciate your endurance, your love, your strength, your giving, your sacrifices. Amen. Is men's meeting this Monday? Yes. So let's plan on being there. And you say, I don't think I need to be there. Well, that'll be all right if that's what you think. But my desire would be, I want to be there for I could be at service for the Lord and make myself available. And I know you could say, well, I don't think I have to be there to make myself available to the service of the Lord. One man said, well, why don't someone call me when they're doing something for God? And I heard the other brother say, well, why don't you come to men's meeting and you'll know. Then you could make plans and provisions to do something and make the sacrifices. As one brother in this church expressed, he goes, well, I think we ought to let the women come to men's meeting because it's just another church service. The preacher just gets up there and preaches at us. Well, he should have took heed to what he was hearing then because he's on his way to hell tonight. And the man's lost full of the devil and got murder in his heart and blood on his hands. And he should have took heed to what he heard. Amen. So I'm not moved by those kind of statements. I know where that mind's is. I knew that he took heed to what he heard from the devil. Amen. Praise God if you can. Try to come out. I'm not mad at you if you don't come. Not upset with you. I'm just concerned. Amen. Because I want to be part of a brotherhood. And I want to be numbered with a brotherhood. And I want to know that when I'm in my time of need and I found myself weak, that I got brethren that remembered the time I was with them praying for another's needs and trying to do something, then God could meet my needs. So far you got strength. So far you got provisions. So far you got everything you need. Praise God. But maybe in the sacrifice of those things, you might find compassion. I could take you to the last part of this passage of scriptures that we read right here. I'm going to read it one more time. It says, for in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. So this is what the Lord Jesus done. Amen. He endured all those temptations and all those persecutions, all those things. Why? For he could feel our infirmities. Maybe you don't have compassion and things for others that are down because you've never came to that kind of a place. Amen. I love you and appreciate you. Brother Ed, if you'll dismiss us today. God bless you all.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.